Amen. We bless the Lord, and we're so thankful for his word tonight. Why don't we just pray for his word before we look to it tonight? God, we thank you so much that you give us this book of truth, that every word in here are promises and scriptures to encourage and to strengthen us. And tonight, God, we desire to minister to you through the word, and we pray that you would just come and speak, that you would come and have your way, that it would be as a flaming sword that would enter the very depths of our spirits tonight, oh God, that you would change us for your glory and for your kingdom's purposes. In your name we pray, amen. Well, our title tonight is Every Battle Belongs to the Lord. God's word has a lot to say about his believers being likened to soldiers in the army of God. He speaks to us about the battles that we will face both in the natural and in the spiritual. He teaches us about the weapons of war that we are to be trained in order that we might be victorious. Psalm 144, verse 1 says, "Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." And I want to encourage us tonight that God promises us that he is our commander, that he is leading the fights. He has promised victory to us if we would position ourselves in the manner that he has set out for us. This does not mean that we will always receive the results that we are hoping for, but rather we are assured that God's battle plan is better than our plan. His plan and his ways are always for our good and not to harm us. There will be victory in our lives, but he's looking for us to trust his ways. He's looking for us to stand on his word when he says, "I will never leave you or forsake you on the battlefield." Deuteronomy 20, verse 4, "For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory." What is our role in God's army? When we hear that he fights our battles, this does not mean that we are to sit on the sidelines, that we are to sit back and watch God do all of the work, but rather we must put on our armor, we must sharpen our weapons, and we must position ourselves properly within his army to see his victory come. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 8 to 17 is an excellent illustration, excellent verses that speak to us of how God wants to position us in a specific formation within his army. And in this story, the Philistines, they go searching for David, who has just been anointed as king over Israel. It says that they go searching after him in full force. And David hears about this, and he inquires of the Lord, asking if he should go and fight the Philistines. And God responds to him by saying, "Go, for I will deliver this enemy into your hands." So David and his army, they defeat the Philistines, and they destroy every idol that was left behind. In verses 13 to 16, "Then the Philistines once again made a raid on the valley, and David inquired again of God, and God said to him, 'You shall not go up after them. Circle around them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when you hear a sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, that you shall go out to battle. For God has gone out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines.' So David did as God commanded him, and they drove back the army of the Philistines." David inquires of God once again before he goes into battle, and God tells David to circle around the enemy, to come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. But he says, "Do not attack them until you hear a sound of marching in the tops of the trees. Then you can advance against the enemy. For when you hear this sound, which represents the Holy Spirit and his holy angels within his army," he says, "this means that I have gone before you. I have prepared the way for you, and I have struck the camp of the enemy." God is teaching us here that we must inquire of him, and he will lead us in how we are to position ourselves before him. And as we are moving into position, he goes before us to strike the enemy's camp. And he will lead us to hear the voice of his spirit on when to move, and we will defeat our enemy in his power. Every battle belongs to the Lord. And he secures the victory for us when we position ourselves according to his ways. This positioning of his army, within his army, is described in the story of Gideon when he defeated the Midianites. There are three main ways that God shows Gideon and his army on how to position themselves in order that God would go before them and win the battle. Number one tonight is submit to God's purging. Judges chapter 7, verses 1 to 8. Then Gideon and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.' Now therefore say to the people, 'Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead.' And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there.' So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, 'Everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink.' And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, 'By the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place.' So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands, and he sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men." Verse 1 in these verses, it reveals to us the character of Gideon as it says that he rose early, showing himself to be a soldier who was ready to go into battle for the Lord. He did not want to waste any time, for the call and the business of God was upon his heart. God reduces his army from 32,000 men to 300. He says to Gideon, "You have too many men for you to win this battle." This is probably the only time in history where we have perhaps ever heard a commander say that to his general. "You have too many men in order to win this battle." But the Lord knew that the majority of these men, they would go out in their own skill. They would not look to the Lord. They would be seeking glory for themselves. They would rely on their own strength to win the battle. And God had promised victory to Gideon. He promised he would help him win this battle. But how many know that the Lord's battle plan looks very different from man's battle plan? And he does not use people in his service who are prideful and who are boastful. We must never say of ourselves, "By my own hand did I save myself." Our flesh must be silent before the commander-in-chief, for he alone saves our souls, and only God alone is able to redeem us from the snares of hell. In order to use these soldiers to glorify God, he needed men who would humble themselves and submit themselves to the Lord's ways, who would trust him with their provisions and their future. And so he tested them in a couple of ways. Those who were fearful, who did not trust in the Lord, he sent those ones home first. And it says that 22,000 men departed from that army. 22,000 men trembled in fear before the enemy. What is it in our lives that makes us fear the enemy and be faint-hearted before our God? Perhaps sin, a lack of trust and faith in the Lord, a broken spirit from life's circumstances. We must be purged from our brokenness. We must be purged of any sin in our lives and stir up our faith to see victory over our battles. 10,000 men are left now. And God says to Gideon, "Gideon, 10,000 men is a lot of men, but it's still too many for you to win this battle that I have called you to. There are still too many who are mighty in their own eyes, who are too wise for God to be able to work his deliverance." God is lessening this army. God is lessening these men that he may be exalted in his own strength. And so he observes how they refresh themselves. Those who knelt down to drink in as much as they could, they were viewed as those who would probably get thirsty easily and not be able to endure the battle of the Lord they were called to. Instead, God chooses the 300 men who lapped the water and rose again quickly. These men probably would be able to endure a long fatigue without complaining of thirst or weariness. They would not be distracted by luxuries. These 300 men preferred the service of God and their country before their own necessary refreshment. You see, Gideon's army was not recruited as man would recruit an army. Gideon's army was not recruited as most people would think an army would be. Instead, his army was purged. They were molded and they were reduced. God does not recruit men and women into his service. God does not recruit an army as we think an army should be recruited. But he purges and he reduces his people that his strength and his glory might be displayed in our lives. He looks for us to fight the battles by faith alone, by looking to God alone, by understanding that we cannot win this battle without God, but we need him in our lives. And when we lessen ourselves, when we can look at our weakness and say, God is made perfect in my weakness, those are the people that he uses in his army. After he tested and he separated these men, only 300 remained. God is looking for us to position ourselves in his army by submitting ourselves to his purging. There may be some fear in our lives. There may be self-seeking, lust after the luxuries of this world that will distract us, that will hinder the Lord from going out ahead of us and striking the camp of our enemies. Gideon set up a camp near a well, and he gained higher ground above his enemy. And this shows his faith in God's promise that God would secure the victory for him. It shows a preparedness. It shows that he was quickening his heart, and he was quickening the preparations of his faith. And God says he wants us to quicken the preparations of our faith when we receive the word of the Lord. And when he says, I will go out before you and prepare the way in your battle. I will strike the camp of your enemy. We must quicken the preparation of our faith by receiving the word of God, by preparing ourselves in this battle. Psalm 149, verse 4. For the Lord takes delight in his people, and he crowns the humble with victory. Our commander tonight, he has a plan and he has a strategy for those who are humble, for those who submit their ways and their wills to him. And number two, strengthen your faith and worship the Lord. After the 300 men were chosen for the army, God promises deliverance and he also strengthens Gideon's faith to fight the battle that is before him. In verses 9 to 15, the Lord instructs Gideon during the night to go down to the camp of his enemy to listen to what they are saying, and he will be strengthened and encouraged. Well, Gideon obeys this word, and in the night he goes down to this camp, and he sees this vast army of the Midianites, the Amalekites before him. And he very easily could have been overwhelmed by the number of people, the number of the army of the enemy that was against him, but instead he remembers the word of the Lord. He overhears a man telling his companion of a dream he had just had, and his companion interprets this dream for him, and this is what Gideon hears him say in verses 14 to 15. This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, a man of Israel. Into his hands God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshiped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand." You see, God gives Gideon the faith that he needs to go into this battle, to go into this war, by giving him a word that he has delivered his enemy into his hand. You see, when Gideon sent the majority of his army home, he could have very easily been viewed as unwise, a little bit crazy, a little bit rash. Gideon, what are you doing? We need every man possible to fight with us. And so in his obedience to the Lord, he needed a strong word from God to encourage him. The odds were obviously against him, seemingly. He could have easily become discouraged when he saw the army of the enemy. And this dream and this interpretation, this word from God encouraged Gideon and it comforted him. And notice that it says, as soon as he received this word, he worshiped the Lord. He gave glory where glory was due. He honored the Lord in receiving this encouragement. And after we submit our plans, when we submit our ways and our wills to the Lord, he will give us divine encouragement to enter into the battle that he has called us to. We must receive and believe his word, and we must worship him and give him thanks for the victory that he has promised to us. Psalm 98, verse 1, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory." And you know, it is true that there will be moments in the battle where we will get wounded. There will be moments in the battle where we will be tempted to shrink back. It's too hard. I'm not strong enough. My faith is weak. But look at the enemy before me. It just seems impossible. There will be moments of temptation in the battle to shrink back, to not go with God, to not pick up his word, and to not trust him in his word. But God is always ready to heal us. He is always ready to help us up. And his shield is all around us. And his sword and his arrows are always positioned against every enemy that we face. And number three tonight, sound the trumpets, light the torch, and shout the battle cry. After Gideon's faith was strengthened and affirmed, he tells his men to arise. He says, "Get up, wake up. The Lord is ready to deliver the enemies into our hands." Verses 16 to 22. "Then he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, 'When I blow the trumpets, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon.' So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.' And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army ran and cried out and fled. Not one enemy was left. But the word of God says the whole army ran and cried out and they fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp." You know what is significant about this particular battle is that it does not mention anything about these men having physical swords and spears. They may have had these at their sides, but it does not mention anything about them picking up their physical swords and spears and gaining the victory this way. But the weapons that won this battle were trumpets and torches that were used to scare the enemy's army as they attacked them late in the evening, and the sword of the Lord. This attack is very similar to the attack that Abraham made upon the army that had taken Lot captive in Genesis 14. Abraham had 318 men. Gideon had 300. They both divided their forces and they made their attacks at night. They both were victorious, even though it seemed as though all of the odds were against them. Gideon divided his army into three battalions, because armies were usually divided into the left wing, the right wing, and the body of the army. You see, God positions us specifically within his army. We each have our own positions to take up. And Gideon ordered them all to do as he did, just as the Lord commands us to follow him and do as he does. He made his descent in the night, it says, when his small army would least be detected. Their plan to scare the enemy would work best in the middle of the night, and the sound of the trumpet and the alarm would wake them out of their sleep. He armed every man with a trumpet and an earthen pitcher with a torch inside of it. You see, God had this specific battle plan designed for this specific enemy. He knew what he was doing. He designed this appropriately. He knew what would be most effective against this enemy. The fact that this army was small, it worked in favor for them for this particular design, for they were able to march into this camp, not being discovered until they were close by. Gideon brought great terror upon this enemy and put them into confusion in three ways. Number one, with a great noise. Every man was to blow his trumpet as loud as he could and smash an earthen pitcher to pieces at the same time. And our trumpet tonight is the sound of our heavenly praise. Our trumpet tonight is our highest worship that exalts the Lord God Almighty with his zeal and with a thanksgiving, and it defeats the powers of darkness. Number two, with a great blaze, the torches were lit and they were hid inside the jars. And all of a sudden, together, they ran through the camp like a flash of lightning. The jars had to be empty in order for the torch to fit inside of it. And the torch tonight is the fire of the Holy Spirit. And this fire can only be lit. It can only burn when our vessels are empty of our pride, when our vessels are empty of our own ways, of our own will, of our fear, of our questions, when we say, "But God, what about this? But God, it's too hard." God says, "Empty yourself. Empty your vessel, and I will put a torch in the fire of the Holy Spirit that will burn so brightly within you, it will be as a mighty weapon in your life." And number three, with a great shout, every man must cry, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." I love that he took the word sword from the Midianite's dream when he interpreted it. It is the sword of Gideon. This brought terror to this enemy, remembering the dream and hearing it proclaimed coming true. And Gideon adds on the name of Jehovah because he knew that this would strengthen and empower his men. They would take courage when they heard the name Jehovah. When they heard the name of the Lord, they would take courage to fight for the Lord and for Gideon. It would bring terror to their enemies who had heard of Jehovah's great name and of Gideon's. The sword of the Lord brings success to the sword of Gideon. And tonight, the sword of the Lord brings success to your sword in your hands, in your mouth. These soldiers, they may have had swords on them, but they gained the victory that night by shouting, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And I love the picture in Revelation chapter 19. It describes Jesus Christ on a white horse. And it says that his eyes are like a flame of fire. It says that his name, the name of Jesus Christ on this horse, his name is the Word of God. And there is a sharp sword that comes out of his mouth that strikes the enemy of every nation. The sword of the Lord, we know this tonight. The sword of the Lord is his word that cuts, that kills, that destroys, that overpowers every enemy of darkness and terror. And the sword comes from the mouth of the Lord. And the sword must be in our mouths as well. The Midianites, they killed each other by their own swords in their confused state. As the shout was sounded, just as the walls of Jericho were shouted down, there's power in the shouts. Gideon's soldiers observed their victory. It says that every man stood in his place around the camp, sounding the trumpets to excite the enemy to fight one another and holding out their torches to light them to their ruin. You see, they did not rush into the enemy's camp. They were not led by their emotions, but they waited for the Lord. They waited for the commander to tell them when to go and when to shout. They patiently stood in their positions and they witnessed the salvation of the Lord. In their confusion, you can imagine that the Midianites thought that there must be a vast army around us. The sound of these many trumpets, the blazing of these many torches, there must be so many men around us. And in their confusion, they began to kill each other. But instead of a natural army of great numbers, there was a small army that had the supernatural power of God backing them up, that had the supernatural power of God that went before them to prepare the way to strike fear and death into the enemies. Joshua 23, verses 10 to 11. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he promised you. Therefore, it says, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Do you love him tonight for fighting those battles for you? God calls us to understand his word. He calls us to understand the teachings that he gives to us in his word. And his word tells us that every battle belongs to the Lord. When we position ourselves properly, we need to be submissive to his battle plan. We need to strengthen ourselves and our faith. And we must take up our trumpets, our instrument of praise. We must light the torch, church. We must set and fan into flame the blaze, the fire of the Holy Spirit through the utterance of speaking in tongues, and shout the battle cry of the sword of the Lord. Proclaim his word and his truth into every situation. And it is then that the Lord marches ahead of us onto the battlefield and strikes our enemies. Isaiah 42, verse 13. The Lord will march out like a champion, like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal. This zeal is his passion for you. This zeal is the flame in his eyes. It is his love and his commitment to your life, to your salvation, to your victory, to your breakthrough. He is committed to that. He says he will stir up his zeal, and with a shout he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. Let's have the worship team return at this time. As parents, we seek to help our children succeed by giving them our resources, don't we? We want to allow our children to have access to whatever we have that will help them. As God's children, we have full access to his resources. We have full access to his power, to his sword and his spirit. May we be encouraged and strengthened in the truth that our God has a battle plan for every difficult situation that we face. And your battle will look different at different times. The battle will look differently for each of us in different seasons of our lives. Your battle might be a loved one that is hurting, that is broken and lost. Your battle might be lack of finances, just wondering where the provision is going to come from. Your battle tonight might be a relationship that needs healing. You might need to surrender your desires and your own wants to the will of the Lord. You may need to surrender your prayers tonight. Shift your priorities for the glory of God to be seen in you. Your battle tonight might be sin. It might be sickness. It might be your thought life. It doesn't matter what the battle is. God says, don't focus on the battle, but may we know tonight that no battle is too great for the Lord. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Can you say that tonight where you are? The battle is not mine, but my battle belongs to the Lord. His battle plan, it might change for different battles that you face. You might need to fast. You might need to shout the walls of Jericho down. You might need to anoint places, physical places in your home, that spiritual breakthrough would come. You might need to humble yourself and ask forgiveness of someone. You might need to go out of your comfort zone. You might only need to surrender and worship in order for the Lord to move on your behalf. Whatever the battle looks like, even when the battle plan changes, our positioning will always be the same. We will always need to surrender to his purging, that we would say less of us and more of him. We will always need to strengthen our faith, and when God says it's time, we will need to sound the trumpet of our praise. We will need to light the torch of his Holy Spirit within us and raise the battle cry of the sword of the Lord, of his word and of his truth. How does God actually fight for us? In addition to the sword of the Lord, Hebrews 7 tells us that Jesus Christ always lives to make intercession for us. I'm so thankful that the work of Jesus did not finish at the cross. the powerful work that he did for our lives. But you know, even now, in our days, he sits at the right hand of the Father, and it says that he always lives to make intercession for us. Jesus is fighting for us. He's interceding to God on our behalf, and he releases the power of his Holy Spirit into our lives. Psalm 20, verse 6, it says, "The Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand." And I pray that in our surrender and in our faith, that we would be clothed with the Holy Spirit, fire and power. God will anoint us, and he will give victory to those who clothe themselves with the Spirit. There's an old song that came to my memory as I was preparing for this, and I just want to read a few lines for you. It's a song, it's a really old song that's called "We Will Ride." And it describes the call of the Lord and his question to us of, will we ride with him? Will we fight with him? Get into his army tonight, he says. Get off of the sidelines. Stop watching the battle, but get in and get engaged with God who fights our battles for us. But it goes like this. It says he has fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand. And he is riding a white horse across this land. He's calling out to you and me, will you ride with me? He has a crown on his head and he carries a scepter in his hand. He is leading the armies across this land and he is calling out to you and me, will you ride with me? And that fire in his eyes is his love for his bride. And he is longing that she be with him right by his side. That fire in his eyes is his burning desire, and he is calling out to us right now, will you ride with me? And we say, yes, Lord, we will ride with you. We will stand up and fight. We will ride with the armies of heaven. We'll be dressed in white. We say, yes, Lord, we will ride. You say that tonight, yes, Lord, I will ride with you. I will fight with you. What other army could we ever desire to be enlisted in but the army of God? You can only serve one commander in this lifetime at a time. Would you choose to serve the commander of the armies of heaven tonight? Let's stand together. God calls to us and he says, it's time to arise. He is fighting for you. Will you fight with him? Will you ride with him dressed in the white garments of his holiness and righteousness? When he sees an army on their knees, purged of pride and their own wills, when he sees an army who has the trumpets in their hands and the praise in their mouths, when he sees his army with the torch of his Holy Spirit in their hands, he says, there is my army. There is an army that I can go ahead of. There is a people of God that I can go and prepare the way for and win the victory. I will strike the enemy. I will strike the camp of the enemy in your life. And the sword of the Lord declares, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Let's take a few moments in our worship tonight. I encourage you to submit yourself to the purging of the Lord, whatever that looks like. Allow your faith to be strengthened by a divine praise, by a divine word of the Lord. Take the trumpet of praise in your hands and in your mouths. Take the torch of the Holy Spirit and raise the battle cry tonight, the sword of the Lord and the sword for my life. If you have need for anything, the altars are always open. We'd love to pray with you. Let's worship our God tonight and be strengthened.